Father, we thank you that you are a personal help in time of trouble. We thank you that there's a throne of grace in heaven. And Lord, what you did for Adelaide, Lord, you can do for all of us, oh God. That son or that daughter, that grandchild who needs prayer right now, that relationship in our life which is broken, Lord, you can heal. You can bring the prodigals back, Lord. You can help the finances, Lord. You can give me a better job. There's nothing too hard for you, Lord. We stand in faith today, declaring the whole counsel of God. Help me with this message, Father. I want you to put your hand on your heart for a second. Say, Lord, help me to receive this message today. May my heart, my ears, my spiritual eyes be open to receive the message. Would you say that with me? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen and amen. I want to continue on our theme of a passion for a healthy church. If you're new to our church or if you were here last week, Reverend Joel preached a powerful message that is available, by the way, on CD in the back. Jimmy made copies of that, so that's available. But since January, we've been talking about this subject of Jesus or God's passion for a holy church, a healthy church, excuse me. Holy is also okay, too. But passion for a healthy church, that should be our passion. That Jesus' passion should be our passion. Amen? This is something he was concerned about. This is something the disciples noticed when he went into the temple. He knocked over all the tables of the money changers and the people who were stealing and doing crooked business. He chased them out of the temple, remember? And he says, you've made this a marketplace, you know, and a den of thieves. But this is a holy place, a house of prayer. And then the Bible says, the disciples remembered where the prophet said, zeal or passion for your house has consumed me. And you could see that that prophecy was being fulfilled in Jesus when he chased out the money changers. His passion for the house of God caused him to act that way and to show the anger of God against those who were desecrating the house of God. Somebody say amen. So we talked about five parts of this healthy church so far. And in case you weren't here, the first one was a biblical worldview. A healthy church has a biblical worldview. We believe the Bible is the foundation of our faith. Amen? The foundation of what we believe. And the Bible doesn't change from depending on the styles, depending on the fads and the trends of our culture. The Word of God is established forever and ever and ever. Amen? Then we said that a healthy church is missional. It's outwardly focused. It has a mission from God to fulfill. And we talked about that in depth. Then we said, and this was Pastor Angela's contribution, that a healthy church is in love with Jesus. A healthy church must have passionate love for Jesus. So that's a question we need to ask ourselves every day. Am I in love with Jesus as much as I should be? We also said, number four, that a healthy church has a lifestyle of prayer, a lifestyle of prayer, and also a lifestyle of praise and worship. A healthy church has a lifestyle of praise and worship and a lifestyle of prayer. Today I want to talk about part six, which is that every member in a healthy church has a ministry and a mission. Every one of us has a part to play. Say with me, I have a part to play. Have you ever been told growing up by your brother or sister, you're weird? Why are you weird? It seems like kids have a wonderful way of hurting each other, right, and teasing each other. But, you know, there's something about that that's really true. We are all unique, and God created us differently. We have different temperaments. We have different personalities. We have different likes and dislikes. And that doesn't mean you're weird. That just means God created a whole symphony of people. Just like, you know, you need the trumpets and the violins. You also need the little piccolo and the clarinet. You need all the instruments in a symphony, right? So every one of us is created by God to have a part in the work of God in his house. We all have a ministry to fulfill, and we also have a mission to accomplish outside of this place. So we have a ministry in the house, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. But we also have a mission that's outside of this house. Yeah. Now, about a year ago, we talked about the two different building programs. I don't know if you remember this message. It was about a year ago. I spoke on the fact that there are two different building programs going on at Catalyst. The first one is the 2020 vision, which we are slowly but progressively making our way to have a new sanctuary, a new building. How many of you will say amen to that? Amen. We need it desperately, and God will make a way for it. But the other is a building program that is, in a way, more important and more critical and even closer to the heart of God. The other building program is the spiritual building program. It's the building of the temple of God that we personally are becoming, and every one of us is a part of it. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. You'll see the scripture there. Ephesians 2, 21 and 22. In him, that is in Jesus, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So the church is a spiritual building. It's a spiritual temple. You see that there. He says, in him, you too, everybody say, you too, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So we are being built together. We used to sing a song in Sunday school, building up the temple, building up the temple. Anybody remember that one? Sister Maureen, she likes all the old songs. Amen. Building up the temple of the Lord. Brother, won't you help me? Sister, won't you help me? Building up the temple of the Lord. We are that temple. It's a holy place that God is knitting together. And one day that will be complete. God, the master architect, the master builder, is bringing together people from every tribe and tongue and language all over the world to make a beautiful edifice for his glory. Hallelujah. A place where he wants to dwell. A place that he wants to be close to us. A tabernacle, if you will. Where we can always be intimate. That's what David said in Psalm 27. Only one thing I desire, Lord, that I might dwell in your temple, to behold your beauty, Lord. I just want to be near you, Lord. God wants to be near us, too. That's why he's building us together into a holy dwelling place that he can come close to us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You believers, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated priesthood. So every one of us is a living stone. You know, you can't say, well, I'm not necessary. The church won't matter. It won't matter to the church if I'm not there or if I can just sit back and be a spectator. No, we're all living stones. Yeah. Do you ever play that game, what is it called, Jenga, where you have to pile the blocks on top of each other? Is it called Jenga? And the thing is, if you try to take one block out, what happens? The whole thing topples over. So every one of us is a building block in the house of God. And every one of us is needed. Hallelujah. Say, I am needed in the house of God. My life counts for God. The Bible also says that not only is God building us, but we are building with Jesus. Jesus is the one who said, I will build my house, right? And the gates of hell will not prevail against us. But then later on in the scripture, Paul says that we are fellow workers with Jesus. This is in 1 Corinthians 3, 9 and 10. Let's look at this one. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 and 10. For we are God's fellow workers. The King James Version says, we are laborers together with God. You are God's field and you are God's building. According to the grace of God which has been given to me as a wise master builder, Paul was an apostle, and so he was one of the foundational people in the building of the church. Apostles were considered foundational. The Bible says the church is built on apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Somebody say amen. So he says, I, as a wise master builder, have laid a foundation, and another person comes along after me and builds on it. But let each one of us take heed how we build on the house that God is building. So in every generation after Paul passed away and the other disciples and John The beloved disciple lived to 90 years old. Some people believe he lived to almost 100 years old. But even John the Apostle, he eventually passed away. Others came along to keep building the kingdom, keep building the house of God. And Paul says, we are fellow workers. We are laborers together with God. So it's not just that God is building us. We are helping Jesus to build as assistant builders. Somebody say amen. I'm an assistant carpenter. I'm an assistant mason. I'm an assistant electrician. Whatever part you have to play, God has a calling on your life. Somebody say amen. You'll notice it doesn't say we are fellow spectators. It says we are fellow workers. There are a lot of churches. Come on, somebody get ready to say amen here. There are a lot of churches where a handful of people are doing all the work and everybody else is just sitting back and spectating. That's not God's calling. God is saying today, get off the grandstands and get onto the field. Hallelujah. There's a work for every one of you. There's a place for you, not only in God's family, but there's a place for you in God's labor force. Not only has God called you into his family, but he's also called you to be a worker in the house of God. Hallelujah. Each of us has a part. So in a healthy church, the members are working together as a team. Somebody say amen. We do life together. We are a community. It doesn't mean we disown our biological family. And it doesn't mean that we isolate ourselves from the world to the extent that we can't. I don't talk to people in the world because I'm a Christian now, so I have to stay away from because I'm going to get contaminated. No. I have to tell a quick story about this. My wife's going to chuckle. My wife's grandfather, who came over from Italy, didn't know the English language too well, but they all became strong believers in Jesus Christ. And so on the job, he worked as in the produce industry. And he had three beautiful daughters. And so some of the guys on the job said, hey, what was it, Sal, when are you going to, you know, introduce some of us to your daughters? You had three lovely daughters. And he looked at them. He says, oh, no. He says, our daughters don't go out with anybody from this world. So they looked at him, and they, what do you mean? We got to be from another planet? So, you know, that's not what we're saying, but we do not want to be, we're not out of the world, we're in the world, right? But we're not of the world. That's what he was trying to say. We're in the world, but we don't follow the customs and the habits of the world. We follow the kingdom of God and the Bible. Ephesians 4:16, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Ephesians 4:16. So each part has a work to do, and you'll notice that the more we submit to each other, the more we find our place and do our job, the more love is shown. This is a surprising thought maybe for some of you today, that you have a contribution of love. You might think you're just handing out, you know, leaflets at the church or stacking chairs or maybe helping to vacuum the rug or maybe helping with hospitality. Everything you do is building in love. You have a part of the love experience in the church. And the more you submit to God, the more you give your life, the more love the world will see. People are going to come in here and say, wow, these people really love each other. Look at how they're serving one another. Nobody is worried about who gets the credit. No one's trying to be a big cheese. Everybody's very humble. Everybody's all serving and just like a good team. In a good team, they don't have just one superstar. Somebody say amen. A good team has everyone is equal. Everybody has a job to do, but nobody's trying to show off. Amen. I want to just give a personal thanksgiving to give you an idea of what I'm talking about. The last couple of weeks, I have shared at the church here some health issues that I've been going through. Most of you know by now. And I had an important doctor's visit yesterday. And thanks be to God, I'm well. I have some more tests that I have to take. But overall, I am in good health. I'm thanking God. I'm thanking God. But please, please continue to pray for me. But here's what I want to say. And if I can get through this without getting all choked up. Since we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, the people were just spontaneously on Wednesday night, everyone gathered around me and they were pouring out their hearts in prayer. And then the following Wednesday night again, Sister Camille and the intercessors were in charge. And Sister Camille read Psalm 91 as you all were praying for me. And then if that wasn't enough, I think it was Thursday or Friday, Nikki and I were talking on the phone and she says, Pastor, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you one-on-one. And I got down on my knees and she just poured out her heart in prayer. And then yesterday at the prayer walk, Brother Lonnery says, we need to pray for Pastor Dave. I have been soaked in prayer. I mean, I have literally been soaked in prayer. Soaked in prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I can't tell you what it means when you're going through something to know there's more to your church than somebody just patting you on the back. Okay, brother, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. Pray through. God will help you. Or just snap out of it, you know. Don't think about that. And somebody said, I'm praying for you sincerely. I'm up in the morning praying for you. That's the body of Christ. That's the kind of family I want to be a part of, where you know the love is sincere. Hallelujah. And so God builds by everybody participating and by everybody showing love. Amen. Can you imagine what will happen if we're all, every member, not just 30%, not just 40%, not even just 75%, but imagine if every one of us, 100%, is praying, sharing encouragement, opening our home for hospitality, evangelizing, giving, volunteering, teaching, caring, etc., etc., all the different gifts that the Bible talks about. And through this beautiful interaction, the power and love of Christ shows up in the church. That's what it means to be a healthy church, operating on all cylinders. Amen. We used to have 8-cylinder cars. How many? No, you remember those, right, Brother Robert? All right. I had a big 8-cylinder engine one time, but we don't want to be operating on 1 cylinder or 2 cylinders. We want to operate on all cylinders, amen? We want to be a fully functioning, fully flourishing church for the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to be fully alive. We want to have each member know that they have a calling. They're not just coming here to make their mom happy or to make their dad happy. They're coming here because there's something God wants to say to them. They're coming here because they have a commission from God. They have a job to do. They have a calling that's more important than anything this world could offer. Somebody say amen. Each of us has been given a part, gifts, talents. Amen. When we have Spanish people here, Sister Carmen interprets, or Damaris is also here, they interpret from English into Spanish. That's a job. Sister Janine used to help us with the CDs, remember, Janine? And not as much now because everything is online, but that's a job that we have to do. If you're in the intercessory prayer ministry, that's a job that God has given you. Are you with me today? The children, yes, we have Kiana and Monique here that help with the children's ministry. So important. Everyone, none of us are excluded or insignificant. Have you ever been slighted as a young person and said, oh, someone went to a club or someone went to an event, but it was only by invitation only or for members only? You know what I'm talking about? It was an exclusive thing. You couldn't get in because, or you didn't get into that school because your grades weren't high enough or something like that. So therefore, you were excluded. Are you following me today? But in God's house, there's no exclusions. Hallelujah. It's not just for certain status of people. It's not just a certain race or color or creed. Somebody say amen. Jesus died for all the world. All the world. Even us weird ones. Amen. It's okay if your brother called you weird or your sister called you weird. I don't want to be weird for Jesus. Amen? I want us to turn to Romans chapter 12 as we begin to close out this message today. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. Each of us has been given a gift by God to help build his house. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it is giving generously, then give generously. If God has given you the gift of leadership, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, please do it gladly. Amen. Everybody, I believe the Lord wants to remind us this morning, you have a part to play. If you, even if you're my age, a senior citizen, I know I don't look that old. I haven't said that in a whole year. Where's Steve? Steve's shaking his head. I did it, Steve. You have to forgive me. Okay, thank you, sir. But everybody, no matter what the age, Pastor Angela said it this morning, whether you're a Mary, teenager, or an Elizabeth, a senior citizen, both of them were carrying in their womb a gift of God. You're carrying something inside of you. I don't know if you've ever watched television, you start crying, or you read a newspaper, or you heard about someone who was bullied, or someone who was hurt, or you heard about children who were hungry, or kids who were abused, and you started crying. Your heart was moved. That's because something was connecting inside of you. There's a resonance there because God was trying to show you, you are part of the solution. God was trying to show you, you can make a difference. That's why you keep getting that burden for that thing. You keep getting that burden for those people who are in hospice or people in the hospital or people in other countries, in China, where they're closing down churches and they're arresting pastors. And you are up at night praying for China. See, God puts a mantle on everybody to do something, hallelujah, to build the house of God. And there are other lists of spiritual gifts. You can look them up in the Bible. There are about 19 different spiritual gifts that are mentioned. The beauty of this, too, is that when you think of a body of Christ, you think there's some older members who have been with God for many years. There are some who are more mature, and then you have some who are weaker. And the way God designed this is that the mature ones should help the weaker ones. Those who have been serving God faithfully, and you've learned some things, you got some gray hair, and you've been on your knees for many years, you see a new person come into church, put your arm around them and take them under your wing. Do you follow what I'm saying? God wants the older and the stronger to help the weaker. 1 Corinthians 12:25. We don't have this on the screen, but in the Passion Translation it says, God has intentionally done this so that every member would look after the others with mutual care and so that there will be no division in the body. In other words, what he's saying here is there's going to be some people in the church that are weaker. Maybe their faith is not that strong yet. Maybe they get offended very easily. Maybe they have an anger problem. Maybe they have just a selfishness problem. They think the whole world revolves around them. So what do? Do you tell them off? Do you ignore them? Do you turn your back on them? No, you lovingly, like God does, you pray for them. You encourage them. You try to counsel them. You try to reason with them. I can't tell you how many people in my life had patience with me when I was a teenager and I had a lot of the world still in me. Somebody say amen. And I had a lot of stubbornness. I had a lot of pride. I had a lot of arrogance. And God used people, loving people, sometimes my own family, to help me to believe that I could change, that I could, by God's grace, I can become a vessel of honor. Hallelujah. You need to believe in the people around you. You need to believe in these young people. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Encourage them to know that they have a calling on their life. God has a purpose for you, Shaquan. Hallelujah. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Hallelujah. And where did Jordan go? And Jordan and Jalissa. God has a purpose for you. Frankie, God has a purpose for you. Hallelujah. Danielle, yes. God bless you, Danielle. Don't get scared. Even if you're a little shy, come on now. Believe it or not, I at one time was an introverted person and shy. And I had to grow. I had to stretch and get out of my comfort zone. How many of you know God will push you out of your comfort zone? So I'm going to read it again. God has done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others. So if you have gained success in some area, you've learned how to have a powerful prayer life, look for someone who is weaker in that area and help them. If you have overcome temptations of the world, try to find somebody who's struggling with that, and you help them to overcome the temptations of the world. Paul explains this in Timothy. He says, the things which you have heard from me, 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So this is how the life of God gets passed on. It gets passed on from one life to another through relationships. Everybody say, through relationships. And if you isolate yourself from people, you might miss a golden opportunity. Because somebody is going to cross your path that needs what you have. And I'm just going to wrap this up this morning by telling you, the greatest need in the world today is not an answer to COVID, which I hope comes very soon. But even greater than COVID is the world needs to see a healthy church. Somebody give God some praise. The world needs to see a model church, a church with people of all races and colors and creeds, a church of young and old alike, all generations, is growing and caring for one another, a church where nobody's excluded, nobody is slighted, nobody's left out. I'm not saying perfect, because we'll never be perfect till Jesus comes. But we can work on it, amen? And we could grow. The Bible says, love one another with brotherly affection. Encourage one another and build each other up. These are all the one another's in the Bible. Teach and counsel one another. Bear one another's burdens. Show hospitality to one another. Are you starting to see a pattern here? In other words, you can't have one without another. God doesn't want us to be isolated. He wants us to be in groups of ones and another. One and another, so that we can grow from each other. Hebrews 10 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that you see the day of the Lord's return approaching. More than ever, we need to pay attention to the one another's. So if you see somebody who's missing from church, I said this at the leaders' meeting, a month or two ago. I said, if you see anybody that's missing, don't leave it all up to the pastors. I love calling people. I call people all the time, and, you know, we don't visit as much because of COVID, but it's our joy. But, you know, once this church grows to 150, 200, we have about 150 or 200 people that still call Catalyst their home, believe it or not. They're all on the registry. And sometimes I may forget. I may not think of it. But if you think of somebody, you call them and pray with them and encourage them. Hallelujah. And don't build a clique around you. Encourage them to come to the house of God. Let them know that they're missed here. When all the workers together are following the same blueprint by the master architect, a glorious house is built. Hallelujah. The world will see a shining light. The world will see the real love of Jesus. I pray, and maybe I'm even prophesying right now, that a day is coming when these pews will be filled. Hallelujah. We will have multiple services. Hallelujah. We won't have to be worried about COVID. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. And most importantly, people will come in here, and their hearts will melt because they will sense the presence of Jesus. People will walk in here and say, God's love is really in this place. God actually is real. I've seen it in those people. Hallelujah. May it be so. We can do this. Everybody say, we can do this. If we love and if we obey and we stretch, we will be a success. Be on guard, it says in 1 Corinthians 16. Be on guard, stand firm in the faith. Be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love. Do everything with love. I am convinced that the world will notice as we continue to fall in love with Jesus and we become a Bible, biblical worldview church, a missional church, an in love with Jesus church, a praise and worship church, a praying church, and a church where everybody has a job to do. Everybody's doing something. In Jesus' name, let's stand together. Give God a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Oh, that's kind of weak. Give him a real good hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad you're part of the family of God? Hallelujah. How many of you are glad you have a calling on your life? There's a reason you were created. Hallelujah. I want to say this to the young adults, that group from 18 to 35. Pastor Joel, or Reverend Joel, is going to be starting this Tuesday night. And the theme or the Bible study will revolve around the question of what are the great questions of life? And one of the great questions that young adults feel is, why am I here? Why am I on this earth? What is my purpose? What is my purpose? I want you to pray for our young adults and pray for our youth as well. The Zoom meeting will continue for them as well. But I want these young adults, and I come in here sometimes on Friday, and I pray specifically that God will put his mantle on another generation of people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. And that you will understand the part that God has for you to play. I want us to read a scripture. Brother Jimmy, can you put up the last scripture? We're going to read this out loud. This is a little different than what we normally do at our close. But we're going to say this. It starts at verse 12 to 17. Colossians 3, verse 12 to 17. We're going to read this slowly because I want you to think about the words. Are you with me still? All right. How many of you feel this today? How many of you feel like God's been speaking here? Amen? I want us to read so you get the gist of everything we said. This summarizes almost everything we said today. Let's read this slowly out loud. Just follow me, please. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body or temple, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your hearts. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. That's our mandate. That's our mandate. That's a mission statement. It's a vision. It's all of those things. We just need to sing a song of praise to God right now. Hallelujah. What are we singing, brother? Okay. Okay. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will sing, how great is our God? Come on, help me, Matthew. Help me to sing it. How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God?
One more time. Hallelujah.
How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God?
And all will sing. And all will see
how great is our God.
Hallelujah. We want all to see.
And all will see how great is our God.
I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment, and Pastor Angela is going to close in prayer. But if there's somebody here today, you have never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins. But you would like to take another step in your relationship with Jesus. This is not something that you're doing for me or for anybody else, but this is between you and God. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. The only thing that stands between you and God is a will, a human will, that God gave you, really, a free will, that he wants you to decide to take a step towards him. He cannot force you to love him. He cannot force you to be in a relationship with him. He's asking you of your own free will to say, Jesus, I want to get closer to you. If there's anybody like that, while every head is bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, would you just quickly put up your hand? I want to pray. I'm not going to call you up here. I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody who wants to say, yes, I want to take a step closer to Jesus. Yes. Anybody? Yes. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, thank you for these, oh Lord, and those who are still thinking about this. Hallelujah. And for the rest of us, Lord, I just want to pray, oh God, that we would be like living epistles. Not only are we living stones, but we are living epistles. Somebody say amen. And so we are known and read of all men. That means like we're like a book. That we're like a book that somebody's reading. Our life is like a story that people are observing. And my question for you is, what do people learn about God by observing your life? If your life was a book or novel, what would people learn about God by reading you? That's a powerful challenge, isn't it? So help us, Lord. Pastor Angela.
I want to encourage you. You know, even though there was, how many gifts did you mention today? 16?
There's 19.
There's 19. But I want to tell you that the combination of those gifts is limitless. We saw something last week in Branson, Missouri at a ministry to people in poverty and homelessness that was incredible. It had almost every gift, spiritual gift, activated into this ministry that's touching a city. And bringing people not only to Christ, but bringing them out of poverty. So the combination of gifts that God may have given you is very unique. It may be kindness with leadership. It may be, my husband is mercy and leadership and others. But, you know, don't put yourself in a box and don't put God in a box. Allow him to birth. The word today is birth. Allow him to birth through you. I know this is funny, especially for men who have never given birth. But spiritually today, could we just put our hand like on our womb and just pray that the Holy Spirit would be active and birth through us? Lord, we just thank you. We heard the message today. And we know that this is a needy world, Lord, that needs you and needs the gifts that are in my precious brothers and sisters. And today we pray there be a stirring of the Holy Spirit in our wombs, those spiritual wombs that will give birth, Lord. And as Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is within you. Oh, I'm getting such a witness in the Spirit. Some of you have let your gifts be dormant and dead, and today the Holy Spirit is stirring up the gifts of God in you. Lord, we just pray for mighty things to come because we know that time is short. We know we have a world that needs us, God. We know that we have a church that needs healthy believers that will take their place in the body of Christ so we can be healthy. And so, Lord, I pray you would speak in signs and wonders, in spiritual visitations, in dreams, Lord, in prophecies, and that we would see, God, things come to pass and come forth in this church and in the churches around us, God, that will make us wonder at how powerful you are, Lord, that will give you the glory and give you the honor. Not that we would take the glory, but we would see the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. God bless you as you go.
Amen. God bless you. Leaders, we'll see you tonight at the 7 p.m. meeting. God bless you all.